Heavenly Father in heaven, you have privileged us by drawing us into your kingdom and making us your sons and giving us an opportunity to serve in the interest of your kingdom while we have life. And we do pray that in the interest of those who will bless us and use this time of study and direction for good, may we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. We ask this by saying, guidance of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this the last note on the study guide that you now have, this would be item 4 I've just given it to you. SH-33 is a course in progress, and it can develop in any way the needs of the students take it. So, since you're here, you two, and I are going to steer this thing.
All right.
And the rest of you are going to get in the bus.
That's right.
Now, let me start with item 1. This is a very important class. It's the last homiletics class that you're going to have, I think. Morgan, both of you will be graduated in May. Winfred is supposed to come. I think Lee Carroll is not going to come. Jim Flynn is away, and Dennis is not able to. He's out laying bricks. That's what he said. That's a good enough excuse for me. But what I'm interested in is that we'll sit in a circle like this. And when we're finished talking confidently, we'll stop talking. When the tape is off, we stop talking too. So one way or the other, we will stop. But my interest is to find out, now that you've had courses in homiletics and you are within the 2 months of graduation, what is it that you see that would be useful for you to have that this class might provide? Well, it's a very broad agenda, and I can shape the course. There are certain things I want to deal with, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm more interested in hearing what you need, what you want, and how this will serve you. So, be my guest.
The problem I had last quarter was preparing an outline, and I would look at the text, and it would take a while for it to speak to me first, and then I would prepare an outline. But the outline, I've looked at some of your outlines, your sermon outlines, and I would like to be able to prepare an outline like that. But I want to internalize it before I preach it. And that's one of the main things for me. And I want to be able to keep it on file, keep it on the desk, and then have a hard copy somewhere that I can always just pull it out, just like this outline, if I have to take it someplace. But being able to assimilate this information and then internalize it. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the main thing for me. I guess it's really personal. How you make the scripture personal? It has to speak to you first. You're really preaching to yourself, and everyone else here has an opportunity to hear what God has said to you. And maybe the Lord is speaking to someone out there also at the same time.
When I prepare to preach, when I was doing the ministry week by week, it would be frequent in my prayer that I would ask the Lord's guidance so that I would know what the Spirit has for His people. Mm-hmm. What is it that I should know, and what should I think about? So that one of the, I've said this to you, and there will certainly be repetition in this class, as I mentioned things to you in other classes, I'll repeat myself, but it's because these are things I really feel keenly, and I think they're But I always seek the Lord's face. And in reading the scripture, yes, it speaks to me. If it doesn't speak to you, I don't think it will speak to anybody else, because preaching isn't just that. It's your own understanding, and when you understand, then you can do something with it. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, what would you like this course to do for you?
Mm-hmm. As for me, as an international student, for instance, sometimes preaching in English is not easy.
No,
it's not easy.
No, it's not.
Yes. So, first of all, I want to learn how can I deliver what I learned in the seminary in English. So, proper English, more understandable English. And what kind of sentence, what kind of vocabulary should be used in the preaching. So, I don't think the English that I use in every conversation and preaching should be a little bit different. I don't know, but there's the preaching language little bit should be more high standard, should be more formal than informal. So I want to learn about that. And another one is, what is traditional reform style of preaching? That means, even if I know the passage from the Exodus as exegetical work, I may know what the meaning of the passage, but the problem is that how can I deliver the meaning of the passage to the congregation? The method is also very important, because I'm learning the content in New Testament Greek as this is class. Mm-hmm. But the more important for this class problem is that how can I deliver, how can I convey what I studied through my by using proper communication, using language, English language. So that is my another point. How can I deliver it actively to my congregation? And last one, if it's possible, I want to know the vocabulary. Old saints, Augustine and other famous theologians in the Holy Church through year, they use some kind of eloquency, fluency of English. I forget the vocabulary of the term. They use some kind of linguistic tactic, linguistic skill that make my preaching more effective, more impressive to the congregation.
So are you planning to evangelize in English? Are you planning to minister in English?
Yeah, actually, now I'm ministering, I'm serving my church as a youth director. They only can understand English.
Korean children, but
yeah, Korean children. Yes. But actually, my goal, my ministry, as far as I'm here in America, I want to focus on 1.5 and second generation of Korean. But they usually speak English. Mm-hmm. They understand English. But some of them may understand Korean, but basically they know only English. So the preaching in English is very, very crucial.
Yes.
Because that is one of my goal, my evangelizing goal, my preaching goal is 1.5 and second generation of Korean children here in America. because that kind of field ministry, they need, lots of them church in America, they need that kind of ministry. Because even though the parents want to teach their children, but they, sometimes the language barrier
between
them and their children. So they want pastor who knows both Korean and English. That is very crucial. So I need to learn how can I preach effectively in English, especially for youth.
And that's another one of my concerns is what you had mentioned with vocabulary building. You know, this even in English, you know, to have a wealth of vocabulary that you can preach from. And it's not so much being so eloquent, because eloquence is not the essential in preaching. It is with the passion that's in the soul, but to be able to put those words together, and then they have the impact once the spirit is behind it and the passion is there.
I know the passion is also very important, and also to know how to deliver the word of God effectively to the youth, which is sometimes very destructive in the service.
Mm-hmm.
So, both of them is very important. The minister, the passion, and the effective way to deliver the word of God to the congregation, especially the youth, sometimes they're very distracted in the worship service. And especially, that is also a very good point, is 1.5 and second generation here in America. They needed a pastor minister who can preach in English and Korean for them at the same time.
Does Dr. Park preach in English and Korean?
No, he basically preached for the orthodox, but they know Korean. He preaches in Korean, but I'm preaching English every most day because my congregation is for youth. And there are some American too, because they're intermarried. International married couple in our church. So I preach to America. Yeah, I try to preach the Bible, what I have already done by doing exegetical work. I want to preach the verse by verse, the youth, but sometimes it's
very
hard and boring.
Yes.
To youth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They won't. They will not.
They will not be authentic. Yeah, it's kind of authentic. Mm-hmm. So,
are the youth in the worship service?
No, we do separately.
You go separate?
Yes. Because
simultaneously then?
Yes, simultaneously. We start 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock we have a main sanctuary for the others. That is by update done by with Korean language. It's Korean. Another group is by English worship service.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't understand Korean.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to separate.
Are the parents interested in having their children learn Korean?
Yes, because of their week, teach Korean every week.
Mm-hmm.
We have Korean class, Korean language class.
Good.
But it's not enough to understand preaching Korean.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also my always preach in English, not only for youth, but after I became a minister, I want to also preach all over the world. I have a mission purpose. So, preach teaching English, and it's very effectively, impressively. It's very good.
You have done very well, I must tell you. To this point in your acquisition of the English language, there is something that I can point you to that will help you learn both vocabulary and communication skill. I'll give you several examples so that you understand what I'm pointing to. There is a recording by Alexander Swerby of the reading of the English Bible. He read it in the King James English, and then he read it, I believe it was in the Revised Standard Version. To help me, not only to learn the scriptures, but also to learn articulation, pronunciation, I will play Alexander Swerby's tapes.
That's the audio Bible?
Audio Bible, yes. I listen to them often, and it helps me to hear my native language, and it helps me to understand some things of how I should speak. I think maybe not in Korean, but at least in English, because we know the language so well, we become sloppy, and so we don't speak clearly. We speak too quickly. I do this all the time. I know, look, once I'm started, I'm not thinking anymore about speaking. I'm thinking about communication, and so the result is that sometimes it's just too fast, and that is something that becomes a problem. I'm too old to change that. But I would suggest to you that, and Carl, this would also be a way of helping you. Language comes to the mind through the ear. We are a sight-oriented society, but language is sound-oriented. So this is why both of you have been in my Greek classes, even though it was difficult to really read. And this morning we read in class, I could tell that there was a lot of rust. Yeah, people hadn't read for 3 weeks.
Yes.
And already the wheels are getting rusty.
Yes. Right.
But it's, and I knew that would be the case. You read well. I don't read. But if you don't, if you put down the Greek, you lose it. You just recall. Your mind can't, even if you were not using English or Korean for a while,
yeah, right.
It's rusty.
Yeah, you're rusty.
Your mind doesn't have the same quickness, and therefore, and that's the nature of language. You either use it or you lose it.
Right.
But I would suggest to both of you along this line, because there are, for example, there are tapes, or there are either tapes that are made by someone else or tapes you can make yourself, where you can sit down and read the dictionary into your tape recorder. And then when you're driving or on a routine basis, I do things like this for myself.
So, listen to audio Bible.
Yes. Listen to him as he reads it.
King James, I think King James Version is old English.
Too English, too old.
Oh.
King James is the most elevated language style that's available in English. So I mean, it is old, and we do not speak that way anymore. But if you want to hear the beauty of English in its most sophisticated statement, the Elizabethan English probably is that statement. There are 20th century, 21st century readings of the Bible. Now, I don't know a broad enough cross-section, because I listen to the classic and that I translate it as I need to. So I listen to the most sophisticated, knowing I don't use it. You won't hear me use that. Once in a while I may slip. But when I'm recalling something, very often I've memorized it in the old Elizabethan style. And I can't, when I've memorized it that way, then I can't sort of dislodge that or else I don't remember it. But for the beauty of the language, it's the King James, the I think it's the Revised Standard Version would be acceptable 20th century language, 21st century language. And Scourby, Alexander Scourby was a wonderful reader. He was an announcer and a narrator. You may also find it useful along the lines of the language study. There are talking books. The talking book studios are the book recordings. And for the purpose, see, it's very useful to you because you can do other things and you just have the language playing in the background and it will have its impact on your memory and on the neurons that record the sound and help you to articulate. There will be some combinations of sounds that I, as a Westerner, cannot say. I could not articulate certain sound combinations. Or you would always know that I was incorrect and my ear is not keen enough to help me. And there's something happens too. The mind, after a while, as a child, you can learn any language anywhere. Your child will be bilingual very easily, trilingual, multilingual. Children can do that. But the brain of man shuts down, and after a certain period of time, you only learn your second language by the patterns established with your first language. So we're doing that with Greek. Now, it's perhaps more difficult because your native tongue is Korean, but you were studying English and using English to study Greek. And so in that case, what you're doing is your Korean language structure in the mind, however that is set up, you use that to acquire English, and then you use English and Korean to acquire Greek. There will always be a clear indication that you are using Korean as your mother language. Because the brain just stops developing in those areas, and therefore you can't acquire English as a native speaker. You would not be able to do that. This is the way the words made us. But what you can do, and what you are doing, is you are achieving a level of speaking and using the spoken language that you will not be inferior in articulation of the preaching and so forth. But those are two suggestions. The Talking Bible, because that is a resource that you're using yourself, and so you will know from the Talking Bible how phrases go, how the English sounds by a native speaker. And the talking books or items of that sort. And it's just endless, as nearly as I can tell, is just endless repetitional, constant usage that polishes, that allows you to hear. And I'm using the principles of language acquisition that I think are right in your classes. I use those. So I had you say it, hear it, you read it, and you write it. And all those are vehicles and avenues into the brain that help us remember. And then, of course, you have to do it over and over and over. And basically, certain things know that we can have.
That's right.
These things,
right?
Certain right. Things just stick in your brain. And that's what the area is. Now, some stick and some go out. I wish more would stick. So. Other things that would be of interest to you, those are very important.
Well, no, I think that's, right now, that's all I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
There's no approach to where, and what he said about a building book out of there.
Well, it's part of my interest in this kind of a course is to essentially say, well, I've been a pastor 24 years. I spent 10 years before that getting ready, preaching on it, you know, in various congregations as an itinerant pastor, and that I've been down here since 92, so I've been here 8 more years. I've made enough mistakes in those years to help you.
And that's, you know, since you mentioned that, that's the main thing. Yes. Any type of pastoral assistance that you can give us in anything.
Well, that's, let me show you what's on the outline, and then I'll see if this goes in the direction. Because that is the mindset that I'm bringing to this class. I'm bringing to you my experience as a pastor. I'm basically saying, look, ask what you need to know. What is it that I can help you? Tell me what you want to know. Usually, in dealing with people, if you have somebody as a pastor, you are a pastor and someone comes to see you, usually it is 1 hour before you even get close to what they came to talk about. Because people don't feel free under most circumstances, especially if they're troubled. They don't feel free to explain, to disclose what might be in their mind. And after they're convinced that you're interested in them, that you're interested in helping them, they can trust you, then they'll talk. But very often, in dealing with people, I don't usually allow things to go beyond 90 minutes. I make my classes 90 minutes for a very particular reason. That's about as much as you can handle. And as soon as you start going longer than that, you're not being productive. People's minds wander. I mean, and I know that some students come in and their minds are wandering, but trying to sit down. They are with me from day one. But you two are not in that category. Well, look at the outline that I've given. I'm going to give you one preaching assignment. The reason being that, well, there will actually be two. One is in the class, which will be the second one. One is in the chapel period. And the assignment for the chapel period is I want you to take a well-known passage of Scripture, something that everybody would know about, and preach on it. For me, what I would like you to do, and I can help you in this respect, choose a passage that is very well known, and then I want you to outline it, and I want you to keep the outline to a single page. After you've preached, I will interact with you, each one, and as a class, we will interact in terms of the outline. Now, an outline is simply a way of organizing your thinking. It's a method, it's just one process of thinking through. It's like, an outline is very much like a blueprint for a house. Have you ever built a house? I have. Hey, Carl, have you ever built a house?
I worked in construction. I used to read blueprints.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason that they have the blueprint is that it gives you an idea of the materials, of the placement, of the dimensions, and it allows you to make mistakes about being very costly. Blueprints are simply an outline of a building. Now, if you try to build a house without a blueprint, You may not have the doors and windows all meeting in the right place. There may be holes between the doors and the windows that you don't want there. And you may pour the footers in one place, and then you build the pillars in some other place, and that's not going to work. But the blueprint allows you to, because of the cost of material, because of the cost of time, it allows you to think through carefully what you're going to do. There are no good illustrations available to us, not very many, of people who have worked through their blueprints and followed them and avoided a lot of unnecessary mistakes. But, for example, they're building these stadiums over on the north side. Now, I would be willing to bet that they've already made mistakes because somebody didn't think ahead, right. Didn't anticipate. Right. And the blueprint should serve you by thinking ahead. Learning how to draw up an outline is a skill that comes with time. So, for example, in the assignment to you of creating an outline for your sermon on a very well-known theme, I will wait until you do the sermon and do the outline, because in effect, I cannot make you a preacher. I can't do that. I can help you hone, refine, sharpen your skills. I can tell you how to do that, but I can't give you those skills. And that's a very, very important distinction. This course on homiletics, you can't come out of this course and say, now I'm a preacher. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not able to do that for you. I'm a man. If I have the ability to preach, it's because the Lord has given them to me. It's not because I've done anything. But whatever abilities the Lord has given me, He has honed. And let me tell you, sometimes that carburetor wheel is very painful.
Yes, it is.
You know what a carburetor wheel is? It's a wheel that's used for sharpening instruments. And sometimes the Lord, in a metaphorical sense, sometimes the Lord sharpens you by rubbing you up against a carburetor wheel, which is very unpleasant. And there are experiences that teach you. Sometimes you make great mistakes. One of my first sermons, which was a mistake, I preached through the entire book of Ecclesiastes in 18 minutes. All I could hear was people were turning the pages too fast. The whole book. I said, John, somebody, what happened? The only thing that I can say is I did it in 18 minutes, and brevity sanctifies all kinds of mistakes. So if you can't say it well, say it short and sit down. And that I mean, it's better to say it. That's all I have to say, and I sit down. Then they go on. And if you do that, I will just be very upset with you. Don't do that, because that is deadly. In dealing with young people, one rules of thumb, the mind will absorb, but the seed can endure. And so, out of a legitimate concession to the limited, although only limited in the sense of, I don't want to listen, not limited in the sense, I don't have the capacity. Because these young people, if you get their interest, put them in front of a television program or a video game or something that they really are interested in, they'll spend all day.
Yes, sir.
It will be bad. But, so you have to be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. You know, in the case of young people, that their attention span is limited. So you never, in the case of a young person, you try not to violate their conscience in this matter. Keep your presentation to a clear minimum. And it's always better, in my mind, I am constrained here in the seminary by time, but you'll allow me to make these illustrations because I'm basically telling you how I do things, which is what I hope will help you. In the teaching of my classes, with rare exception, I've gone the point where I said I would go. That I usually start on time if I can. If I can't, I quit on time. And only rarely do I stray beyond those limits. Because that is not only, that is honest labor in terms of the student, but sometimes I will send you out when you are